It's with my pleasure to be able to introduce our brother here. Just I would ask if you would keep him in your prayers. He was laid up on the couch yesterday, not feeling too well, but he is here today because he knows he was called to serve this day. He is prepared for the service, and with no further ado, I give you our brother and our pastor, Jim Yates, Jr.
Good morning to each and every one of you. I would also like to thank all those who took time out yesterday to work on our building here. It's important that we keep it up and we keep it in good operating condition so that we can come in and meet here and to worship one with another. I started putting thoughts together for the sermon last Sunday. In fact, I'm going to use one of the scriptures that our brother used as my main scripture. But I'm going to call this "For the Love of Christ." It's going to be the title of my sermon this day. And I would like to start with a scripture that is used all the time. Sometimes I think it is used flippantly. And 99.9% of the time it's misquoted. I'm going to start in John, the third chapter. And I'm going to read from the 10th to the 18th verses. And this is Christ speaking with Nicodemus. And Christ answered him and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witnesses. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Do we find ourselves caught sometimes in this same paradox? When we come here in through testimonies and through preaching and song and conversation, because our mind is not shut off the world, that we don't hear the spiritual things that God has for us, that we're not strengthened and edified as we should be or could be. "And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." 16th verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We're so eager to jump on a scripture, and I see this sign flipped out there, John 3:16, all the time. And they leave out "should," and they put "shall." And they mean two totally different things. In him shall not perish. It means it's not going to happen. But Christ came that man should not perish. He came to deliver a message that his Father gave him that we might be redeemed. Think about that. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Have you thought about the fact that Christ so loved us that he submitted himself willingly for what was about to come, that we should not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. A choice. They take the choice out when they misquote the scripture. We each and every one have a right to choose. But Christ so loved us that he was willing to submit to the will of the Father. And this is not an Easter sermon, though at times it may sound like it. It is a sermon about Jesus Christ. We teach of Christ. We talk of Christ. Those before us have prophesied of Christ. And we will talk about his return. For the love of Jesus Christ, we are here. Isaiah. The 53rd chapter. The whole chapter is about Jesus Christ and the things that he's going to suffer. Excuse me. And the things that he's going to do. You should read it. Take time to study it. But I want to talk about just the first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of God revealed? The arm of God is going to be revealed to all mankind. But only a few will choose to believe the report. And that's going to lead into the scripture that's going to be the spear point of my sermon that our brother talked about in Hebrews last week. Who hath believed our report? Sometimes I think we look at these scriptures and we think of Christianity and we try to simplify it to the point of non-existence. When reality, Christ has already made it simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we try to change it and warp it into things that he did not mean for it to be. Alma, the 16th chapter, page 205. Excuse me, page 428. The purpose that Christ came was not to condemn. That's what we read in John, and that's true. When he first came, it was not to condemn. Here in Alma, in the 16th chapter, starting with the 205th verse, we read why Christ came. Amulek speaking. My brother has called upon the words of Zenos. and the that redemption cometh through the Son of God, and also upon the words of Zenoch. And also he appealed unto Moses to prove these things are true. Who has believed their report? Who has seen their cloud of witness, the things that they wrote, and who is willing to hear? And now behold, I will testify unto you of myself that these things are true. Behold, I say unto you that I do know that Christ shall come among the children of men to take upon him the transgressions of his people, and that he shall atone for the sins of the world. For the Lord God has spoken it. For it is expedient that an atonement should be made. For according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all... Excuse me. Yea, all are hardened. Yea, all have fallen, and all are lost, and must perish, except it be through the atonement, which is expedient that should be made. For the love that Christ had for his Father, he submitted himself to him. For the love that he had for creation, he submitted to us. Have you thought about that? Our sins, he submitted to him. He picked them up and he took them upon him, that we might be brought back into the presence of God. For it is expedient that there shall be a great and last sacrifice, yea, not a sacrifice of men, neither of beasts, neither of any manner of fowl, for it shall be a human sacrifice. Excuse me, for it shall not be a human sacrifice, but it must be an infinite and eternal sacrifice. Now there is not any man that can sacrifice his own blood, which shall atone for the sins of another. There's nothing I can do that'll atone for you, or vice versa. Any sacrifice I made is for me, my soul's salvation. Just like any sacrifice that you're willing to make in your will to God is for your salvation. Christ came that we might be saved. And he endured the cross that we might be brought back in the presence of God. That our voice will be heard when we kneel in prayer. That we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling before him. Christ gave that to us when he came. Gave us the ability to choose a way back into the presence of God through faith, baptism, and endurance, keeping his commandments. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to going to read verses 1 through 8. And then we're going to look at them. And our brother read verses 1 and 2 last week. And he talked about that great cloud of witnesses. And we read about some of them in Alma that they had as witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Set aside that weight. And the sin which so easily beset us. Not so easy a thing to do. Hold your place there. Turn with me over into Romans. Chapter 7. And in verses 14 through 22, we read where Paul discussed his problem with sin. And he talks about how hard it is to lay things down. And he argues back and forth. And that which I would do, I can't do. And that which I would, I don't do. But then he makes a sum of the whole thing in verse 21. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. No matter what we try to do, evil is always going to be there. The only place that we can totally get away from evil in this life is here, if we all leave it out there. Satan is always present. But Christ came to give us that option of choosing between him and the other. But it's always going to be present. It's going to be a constant battle. It doesn't matter if you're somebody that's looking at the scriptures for the first time in your life, or you've been here for 50 years, 100 years. We all are going to have a battle because evil is going to be there. Ever going to be present. And that's why, if it was not for the grace of God, none of us would be able to make it. If it was not for the atoning blood of Jesus Christ and his desire to serve us, to help us, will we have the ability to make it into heaven? Or have the ability to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God's throne. Despising the shame, because only the most derelict was hung on a cross in Roman times. It was not meant to be quick death or an easy death. It was to be there so all could see your shame. And yet he willingly took it upon himself. He willingly subjected himself to his Father and said, I will do this for them. What are we as individuals willing to do for him? What sacrifices of ourselves and our own will are we willing to make that we can subject ourselves to the commandments and the teaching of Jesus Christ? Moroni, the sixth chapter. Page 762. We can read who we can rely upon. Moroni 6, 4 to verse 5. And after they have been received into baptism, and were wrought upon by the cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. He willingly took that upon himself. He wrote the book. Caused it to be written. I will take upon me your sins. I will face death and break the bands of death and sin, so that you can come and stand before my Father, guiltless, because you're washed in my blood. His merits, not ours. His merits. The grace of God, the merits of Jesus Christ. I would like to turn over into 2 Nephi and read a promise that's very similar to this, but it's a promise to us. 2 Nephi, the sixth chapter, page 107. Starting with the 38th verse. And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God has spoken it, and it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they who are righteous shall be righteous still, and they who are filthy shall be filthy still. Speaking of the resurrection. The spirit that we carry when we leave this life is a spirit that we carry when we stand before God to be judged. The scripture tells us that when we lay down this life, we immediately go to the God that gave it life to stand and be judged. Not years down the road. The initial judgment is when you take your last breath. Wherefore ye who are filthy are the devil and his angels, and they shall go away to everlasting fire prepared for them, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames ascend up forever and ever and hath no end. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he exalted all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. Now we read the promise. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of this world. And despise the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be filled forever. Our crosses that we bear, because of our decisions. But if we despise the shame that we may feel for standing up for our faith, and we are willing to keep his commandments, and we are willing to testify of the hope that we have within us, we're willing to run the race with patience. We will inherit the kingdom of God. And we will sit down at the right hand of Christ. Our promise. Back in Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verses 3 and 4. For consider him that endureth condemnation for sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have not none here fought against sin to where we have bled for it. Some in the past have. And the contradiction of sinners. I had to look it up. I wasn't really sure what they were trying to say. In Strong's, it's a disobedience. The disobedience of sinners. To consider him that endured such disobedient from sinners. Gainsayers for strife is another meaning. Which is to speak out against, to oppose, to condemn. We need to be careful that we don't align ourselves with those oppose him who came to save us. Go to Romans, 3rd chapter. Romans 3, 21 to 23. Excuse me, to 25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short to the glory of God, being justified freely by him, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. All have fallen short. We all have fallen short. It is only through the grace of Christ that we're here. For that love that he has for us. When you read the scripture, I think of one where it says there's no difference. He doesn't look at me any different than he looks at any of you. If you have time, look at Matthew, in the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16, where it talks about the, I call them day laborers, where he went out in the morning to get men to come to the vineyard. Then he went out again at noon to get men to come in and work for the vineyard. And he went out in the evening. Did he even get paid more? No. They all got paid the same. In God and Christ's eyes, we are all the same. When we stand before him, he looks at us the same. The same love, the same compassion. I say compassion. Think about it. What did we read earlier? Those that are the devil are going to be condemned. There's no rejoicing there. There's love and compassion. I have tried to reach out to you. I have called you. I have done all these things. But you refused to hear my words. We're all sinners before the eyes of God. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can stand out and be any different. Back in Hebrews, verses 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, or faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourgeth every one whom he received. Are you afraid of being chastened? I can remember as a kid, I did something I knew was wrong. Didn't think about it before I did it. The repercussions that was going to come worried the heck out of me. But I know that I received what I would do because they were trying to make me a better person. If God reaches out and chastens you, He's trying to make us a better Christian, a better believer. Trying to improve who and what we are. Proverbs, the third chapter. Verses 11 to 13. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. A happy man that findeth wisdom. A happy man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Don't be weary. If you stumble and fall and need correction, there's also the helping hand there to help you. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't care. Do your own thing. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But it's the loving hand that reaches out and knocks you on the head or smacks your hand or stops you in your tracks that said, you're going the wrong way. Turn. This is where you need to go. Learn this lesson. Don't go there. Do this. Messiah, the 11th chapter. Page 275. Nonetheless, verses 23, the Lord seeth fit to chasten His people. Yea, He trieth their patience and their faith. Nonetheless, whosoever putteth his trust in Him, the same shall be lifted up in the last day. Yea, and thus it is with His people. He's not going to let us continue in our mistakes. He's going to stop us because He loves us. He's going to turn us around and point to the direction He should go. And I had that experience. And I have borne that testimony when I was having trouble. Wasn't necessarily being a bad person, but I wasn't going where Christ wanted me to go. And through the mist and the darkness and the heat, when I finally humbled myself and cried out for help, a hand reached out and grabbed me in my dream and showed me the way. I am assured He will do that for each and every one of us. He will chasten us and show us the way. I paid for what I've done. There are consequences to the sins that I had. But I was showed the path and the way to go. I was given the strength to repent and to do those things that I should do. Revelation, third chapter, one verse. Christ speaking. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As any parent, he will chastise us when we're doing wrong because he loves us. Back in Hebrews. Verse 7 and 8. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For the Son is he whom the Father chasteneth. For the Son is he whom the Father chasteneth not. But if ye be without chastening, wherefore ye are whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. That son there has nothing to do with your gender. It has to do with being a child of God. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as were children of his. Because we are his child. Proverbs, chapter 12. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. The hand of the diligent will accept the chastening of their Lord. Instead of being under tribute. I had to look that tribute up. In Strong's, it is under burden. A tax in the form of forced labor. The slothful pay for the consequences, and it will be forced upon them. God's law. But if we are diligent and we heed his chastisement, we'll be numbered among his children and we'll receive that reward which he has prepared for us. I'd like to close with Revelation. Chapter 3. Verses 20 to 22. Christ speaking once again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him and he with me. For all those who will believe shall not perish. You have to open the door. Have to invite him in. Have to be willing to sit down and to sup with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that has an ear, let him hear the knock of Jesus Christ, because it was for his love that he came and brought with him the plan of salvation and the plan of redemption, which we are so desperately in need of. I thank you for your time.